I was about 11 years old when I ran away from home. I was fed up with life. My biological mother, she had abandoned me. My dad, well, he was dead. And I grew up in a home that wasn't my own. You see, I had, you know, sometimes I felt like my own siblings, you know, made me feel like an outsider. And I was broken on the inside. And as time passed, you know, my brokenness had led me to making a series of poor choices. And I found myself running away from my family and embracing a lifestyle that was leading me to one of three different places. It was leading me to a hospital, it was leading me to a prison, or it was leading me to a grave. And I had come to the point in my life that I had lost respect for life, y'all. I mean, I didn't care about anybody around me. I felt like it was me against the world. In my head, it was the survival of the fittest. And I journeyed through life with no sense of hope, no sense of purpose. And I questioned life, like, what's the point to all of this? Why do I even exist? If God made me, what was I made for? Have you ever been there before, asking the question, what's the point to all of this? Some of you might be able to identify with my story, you know, the abandonment and, you know, the trauma, the pain associated with life. And, you know, maybe you're in the room today and your story is somewhat different. Maybe, you know, you grew up on a farm and maybe you grew up with parents that were great and that loved on you and you had a good life. But one day you sat back and you looked around and you asked the question, what's the point to all of this? Have you ever been there? If that's you, I could raise my hand and say me too. And if you're joining us for the first time, I want to say thanks for joining us today. You should know that we're in part two of our message series titled Made for More. And if you missed us last week, you can find the full message on demand on the Victory app, on the website, or, you know, even on our YouTube channel. But in a nutshell, last week, we looked at the historical account of the creation of man. And in contrast to the theory of evolution, we affirmed that we absolutely did not evolve from the universe as the product of a cosmic explosion, but rather God handmade us. God himself made us very intentionally. He made us on purpose, and he didn't only make us on purpose, he made us for a purpose. He made me and you and the rest of humanity for a deep and intimate relationship with himself. We were made for relationship. We were made to know God and to be known by him. And if you were here last week, you might remember that it was the single act of disobedience that severed a perfect relationship with God. And as the result of a choice that was made by both Adam and Eve, the entirety of humanity was confronted with death. And since we're not made for death, and since we were made for relationship, God wrapped himself in flesh and he penetrated space and time and lived among the very people that he created. And when he came, he didn't just flaunt his majesty. He didn't come here to show off. Rather, God humbly embedded himself among people just like me and just like you. And he came in the form of a servant. You see, he left his heavenly home and he embraced a culture that was not his own. And he met people right where they were. He ate their foods. He spoke their language. He even dressed like they dressed during that time. But sadly, some people, the same people that he came to serve and that he came to love on, and the same people that he came to set free, are the same people that spit on his face. And they battered his back with an instrument of torture. And they crushed a crown of thorns on his head. Jesus, God incarnate, was forced to carry his own cross to a place that he would eventually be crucified. And they nailed him to that cross. Or should I say, we nailed him to that cross. Should I say, we nailed him to that cross. And there, Jesus, he hung there. He's suspended between heaven and earth. And he's drenched in his own blood. And the saliva of other men is dangling from his beard. And the splendor of his love was on display for all to see, y'all. Jesus' arms are spread out wide. And he's saying, this is how much I love you. This is how far I am willing to go for you. Yes, it was demanding. It was absolutely demanding, but it was required. It required this type of sacrifice, this measure of love, in order for you and me to have the opportunity to be connected back to God despite ourselves. And then Jesus, he hung there and he absorbed the pain and he heard the ridicule and he cried out to his Father while he was on that cross. And eventually he says, it is finished. Mission accomplished. And then Jesus dies. He died on that cross, and they took his body off of that cross and they placed his body inside of a tomb. And I can imagine every single person that followed Jesus at that time was probably asking the same question that you and I are asking today. What is the point to all of this? What is the point to all of this? I mean, I chose to walk away from everything. The person that I chose to follow is dead and is now in a tomb. Day one passes, and I imagine the sadness that saturates the heart of all who experience Jesus. And then day two passes. At this point, people are probably questioning their purpose. I mean, they gave up their entire lives for this guy. They walked away from their businesses, they walked away from their family, and they walked away from their homes to follow Jesus. What is the point if he's only going to die? And then day three arrives. Jesus, he opens up his eyes. He peels up out of his grave clothes. And get this, he neatly folds his garments and walks up out of that grave. I said he walked up out of that grave. Jesus conquered death. And I need you to know that this is not just some Bible story, y'all. This is a historical account. Hundreds of people who lived in Jerusalem in 33 AD, they saw Jesus alive. It was undeniable, y'all. And this single moment in history, it sparked a revolution. The resurrection of Jesus sparked a revolution. And from that moment on, get this, the same power that rose Jesus from the grave filled every person, every single person who confessed that Jesus was the Christ, repented of their sins, was baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins and for the gift of the Holy Spirit. The revolution began with normal people, just like me and just like you. Normal people who responded to the call to follow Jesus. See, it started in Jerusalem in 33 AD. And I don't know if you can see it from out there, but check this out. That little light in there, right? That little light, that's where it started, in Jerusalem in 33 AD. But today, in 2023, its influence is felt all over the world, y'all. This revolution changed the world. And it started locally in Jerusalem moved his way through Judea and Samaria and made his way around the world. This movement started local and it went global. And each of the people that were part of this movement, every single Jesus follower that joined this movement, they joined the movement because they knew and understood that they were made for more. They understood that they were made on purpose. They understood, y'all, that they were made for a purpose. And that's the point, y'all. I mean, the purpose of all this is to expand the kingdom of God by connecting as many people back to God as possible, to take back what the enemy stole from the beginning. In Matthew chapter 28, 19, Jesus says, Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus is here clearly commissioning his followers to reach more souls for the kingdom, so that every person that is gained for the kingdom can experience a deep and intimate relationship with God for an eternity. So if you're here and you're asking, what is the point to all of this? The point to all of this is that the entirety of humanity would embrace an authentic relationship with God, not only for now, but for an eternity. Jesus, he was on a hot pursuit for a relationship with humanity because we were made for relationship. Therefore, go. The single most weightiest word in the Bible for Jesus' followers has two letters. Go. Jesus told his first followers to go. They didn't stay. They went because he told them to go. And among Jesus' first followers was a man by the name of Simon, a man that many of the people in this room, including myself, we could all relate with Peter or Simon in one way or another. You know, I tell you what, he was a man that was in desperate need of a Savior, just like you and I are in desperate need of a Savior. And Simon's, you know, story, it began with his brother. His brother's name was Andrew. And one day he had an encounter with Jesus. And Andrew, he was so impacted by Jesus that he ran to his brother and says, "Yo, bro, you gotta see this. Come over here. We found the Messiah. The Messiah has arrived." So Simon, you know, he joins his brother and he goes to meet Jesus. And when they go to meet Jesus, Jesus just looks at Peter. He just looks at him. Can you imagine the awkwardness of that? Jesus just looking at him. I mean, he looks at him and he doesn't only just look at him, but he looks at him intently. How you feel right now that I'm looking at you intently? All right, it feels kind of awkward. And I imagine Peter, he's standing there. In fact, let's look at what the scripture says. In John chapter 1, 42, then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. And looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, "Your name is Simon, son of John, but you would be called Cephas," which means Peter. Now, the Greek word for looking intently is this. It's emblepo. And it's the original word, and the definition is to look at with the mind or to discern clearly. So when Jesus looked at Simon, he didn't only look at Simon, he looked past the surface of who Simon was. He looked past the impulsiveness. He looked past the ghetto. He looked past the instability. Jesus looked deeper and he called out his destiny. I said Jesus looked deeper and he looked past the surface of who he was and he called out his destiny. "Your name is Simon, but you will be called Peter." Do y'all have any idea what Peter means? Y'all get any idea? It means a rock. It means, you know, like a stone. right? And what I find fascinating about stones, if I was to set this on this table here, it'd be pretty steady on here. It'll remain kind of solid, right? And if I threw this thing at something, what do you think would happen if I threw it at the glass back there? It'll probably make an impact. It'll cause a dent, you know, maybe in a chair, you know? I mean, and so you see Simon, he was a fisherman. But Jesus had more for Simon. He was going to make him a fisher of men. And he was going to use him despite himself to make an impact in the world. So just like 8 people last week made a decision to follow Jesus, Peter made a decision to follow Jesus as well. And Peter, he walked with Jesus and he talked with Jesus and he was close to Jesus. He was even willing and ready to die for Jesus. But when the moment of truth came, Peter ended up turning his back on Jesus. And he denied knowing Jesus. Not one time, but 3 times. And when he realized what he had done, it absolutely wrecked him, y'all. In fact, the scriptures tell us that he was weeping bitterly, like I, and maybe like you have experienced at one point or another. Peter was broken on the inside. They had crucified his master, and he had denied even knowing him. And I wonder if at this moment, Peter is questioning his very existence. Like, why am I here? What is the point to all of this? So as time passes, Jesus, you know, he's already shown himself alive to Peter and to many others. And when he should have been celebrating and enthusiastic about the fact that Jesus is alive, he ends up going back to the place that Jesus calls him out of. Does that sound familiar? When Jesus first asked Peter to follow him, it was at a place called the Sea of Galilee. And I find it so interesting that when we read the biblical account, according to John chapter 21, he is back at the Sea of Galilee. And guess what he's doing? He's fishing. He's probably feeling depressed about the fact that he just denied Jesus. He went back to what he was familiar with. Does that ring a bell? Does that sound familiar to you? Have you ever been there? You know Jesus called you to follow him, but you end up going back to the place that he called you out of. So Peter, you know, he's fishing, and the passage tells us that Jesus was cooking up on shore what Peter was trying to fish for out in the sea. And then eventually, he makes his way to shore, and they begin to have a conversation. Jesus and Peter begin to speak. In John chapter 21, we read, after breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you agape me? That word agape, it means unconditional love. And we tend to use the word love very generically here in America. Like, we love our cat and we love our Butterfingers and we love our car. We love everything, don't we? Right? This word here that Jesus is using is, do you love me unconditionally? Do you love me more than these? More than these, what? More than the fish that he just miraculously caught? Or more than the people that were around him at that time? Yes, Lord, Peter replied. You know, get this, that I phileo you. That's a whole different kind of love. The word phileo, it speaks to a brotherly kind of love. You know, like a friendship kind of love. And look at what Jesus says. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. And we go on to the next slide, thank you. And Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you agape me? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know that I phileo you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. And it goes on to say, a third time, Jesus asked him, Simon, do you love me? Do you love me? You know what word he's using here? He's using the word phileo. See, Jesus, he got down on Peter's level. And he's probably looking him right in the eye yet again. And he says, he speaks his language. He says, do you phileo me? Do you phileo me? And look at what Peter says. The Bible says, Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. And he said, Lord, you know everything. You know I'm feeling a certain kind of way right now. You know that when you met me, I was a little bit reckless. You know me. You know that I can't love you unconditionally. You know that I phileo you. Jesus said, well then, I need you to go feed my sheep. And what I love about this passage is that despite the fact that Peter denied him, and despite the fact that Peter went back to what he was familiar with, Jesus did not condemn him, y'all. No. He commissioned him. And I need you to know that if you are here today and if you have felt like you have walked away from God or that you have denied God, he does not condemn you. He loves you and he wants you to be in a deep and intimate relationship with him. So no matter what your story is, I am here to tell you that Jesus does not condemn you. He calls you to follow him. And when you follow him, he commissions you. He tells you to go. In fact, you cannot spend any significant amount of time with Jesus without him telling you to go do something. Think about it. I mean, he was just hanging out with Peter and he's having breakfast with him. He's like, yo, bro, go feed my sheep. And here is where it gets good. Peter, he embraces the call to follow Jesus yet again and to be a fisher of men and to feed Jesus' sheep. And so some time passes and Jesus, he promised Peter and the rest of his crew that they would be empowered by the Holy Spirit to go out and make a global impact. And Peter, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit of the living God, begins his first articulation of the gospel to a massive group of people that were gathered in Jerusalem. In his own words, Peter says, therefore, let all of Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. Verse 37, when the people heard this, they were cut to their hearts and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? They were looking for a next step. They were asking this question, what's the next step? And Peter replied, get this, repent. Turn from your wicked ways. Repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. For what? For the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is not only for you, it's for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord God will call. And with many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And those, get this, and those who accepted the message, they didn't wait. They were baptized. And about 3,000 souls were added to that number that day. You see, at one point, Peter may have asked the same question that you and I are asking. What is the point to all of this? But Jesus, he helped him to discover his purpose. And he didn't condemn him. He commissioned him. And it wasn't until Peter realized that he was made for more than being a fisherman that he was able to make an impact in this world, y'all. And I need y'all to know that as you read through the book of Acts, you will find that God used people just like me and you, amazing people, to expand his kingdom. And what I find so interesting, you know, about the book of Acts is that when you come to the end, if you read it, if you haven't read it, I want to encourage you to read the book of Acts. But when you come to the book of Acts, it doesn't land with the end. No. You want to know why? The reason is that we are still writing the story of the book of Acts. People like me and you, it's because of people like you and I that, you know, continue to do the work that God started through his first followers. Listen, y'all, as we look beyond the book of Acts, history records how God used people like me and you to be the hands and feet of Jesus. They continued the work that he started. That is the point to all of this. These people would love on and care for complete strangers. They would love the world just like Jesus loved them. They lived their lives just the way that Jesus lived and died, with their arms wide open, y'all. This is how the Jesus followers lived their lives, with their arms wide open. What if you lived your life like this right now? What if we lived our lives like this right now? Christianity changed the world once. It sparked a revolution. What if we could do it again today? What if you believed that you were made on purpose? What if you believed that you were made for this purpose? Would you be willing to surrender your life to Jesus so that you can see what he can do through you? Is that you? Are you ready to surrender so that you can get to know God and be known by God? Is that you? Are you ready to walk in your purpose and, like Peter, make an impact in this world? Is that you? If that's you, listen, I want you to walk out of these doors and go to the next steps room. We got people that are willing and ready to pray with you and share with you what a next step could be for your life. After service, we're going to open up that opportunity. And I don't want you to walk there. I want you to run over there. Many of you in the room, I want to acknowledge this, that, you know, there's many of us in the room today that have already responded to the call to follow Jesus. And you have already given every fiber of your being to Jesus. You've been baptized. You're reading your Bible daily. You're going to a small group, but you still have this nagging feeling that you were made for more. You have a stirring in your heart to help expand the kingdom. If that's you, why don't you consider helping us make a kingdom impact by joining one of the, you know, teams that we have here? We got a million teams around here, y'all. And give it a try. See what it's like. We're not going to hold you hostage. I mean, we're always looking for game changers to serve here at Victory. And if you don't know what a game changer is, this is how we define it. People who are leveraging their lives to make an eternal impact. Made for more. Made for this purpose. Listen, y'all, Christmas is coming up. And all of our teams need your help. We're putting together 4 Christmas Eve services, and we're filling spots for each of the service. So together, all of us, we can make an impact right here in Franklin, y'all, right here in our community. And we're presenting this unique opportunity to try it out for one time. It's a one-time serving experience with one of our teams to see how it goes. I mean, again, there's no strings attached. If you're not currently serving on a team as a game changer and you have the availability during our Christmas Eve services, I want to strongly encourage you to give it a try. We need game changers to serve him. First impressions. Let me ask y'all, when y'all first walked in through the doors today, how did y'all feel? Did you not feel welcomed and loved and noticed? Well, we need you to help recreate that experience for people that would never otherwise step into a church building so that they could feel loved and noticed and cared for. We need people in the kids area. We need people in the students area, behind the scenes working in production. Any singers in the house? We got a choir for Christmas. If that's you, come see us. I mean, we got even the Victory Cafe back there. So many opportunities. So if y'all want to make a kingdom impact, listen, I'm giving you permission right now. Pull out your phones, right? Pull out that camera. And when the link comes up, just click on it and sign up. Help us to make a difference together. Help us to expand the kingdom of God. That's the point to all this. You were made for a purpose, and that's it, to serve others as Jesus serves you. Why don't you let God use you and see what God can do through you? Amen. Paul, as we close in the first chapter of his letter to the Ephesians, he writes this. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope which he has called you, the riches to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. And get this, and his incomparably great power for who? For those who believe. Check this out. The power, that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly realms. Listen, y'all, if you are a Jesus follower in the house today, you need to know that you have the same power that rose Jesus from the grave living inside of you. You have the same power that rose Jesus from the grave already inside of you. What would it look like if you just tapped into that power, y'all? What would it look like? Now, you might be in the room and you are already a Jesus follower. You sold out for Jesus and you're already on the front lines. You're serving on a Game Changer team, and you look around, you're like, you know what? I want to do more. What would it look like if you did something as simple as shared your story so that you can inspire others to become a game changer, to leverage their lives for an eternity, inspire other people to help expand the kingdom of God? I'm telling you, y'all, no matter where you find yourself in this journey of life, we were made for more. Never forget that. Can we pray? Father, we bow our hearts in your presence. And God, we thank you that from the beginning of time, you made us on purpose. It was very intentional and not reckless. And you made us for a purpose. You gave us a mission. And God, as we sit here today, I'm asking you, Lord God, that you stir a fire in our heart to get up and go. Not to remain stagnant and stay, but to get up and go. To share the hope of the gospel with the power that has been invested in our lives through the Holy Spirit, that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. I pray that you, Lord God, help us to unleash that power, Lord God, that we will walk in our communities, that we will walk in our supermarkets, Lord, and in our schools, and around our neighborhoods, Lord God, and that people will taste and see that you are good. Hallelujah. It is your heartbeat that all would be saved. And I pray right now, Lord God, that you would use us as a vessel to help make an impact in this world, to expand the kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen.